Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Dusty White and Chris Himmelman of Coram Deo Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're continuing our conversation on marriage, specifically the marriage between the gospel and the Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah, that.
Chris, you saw Age of Ultron, didn't you?
I did.
What were your thoughts?
Disappointed.
Disappointed?
Wow.
Overstuffed.
Overstuffed with...
But a lot of fun.
Too much action.
Too many characters.
Marvel was attempting to get everybody in the movie.
It became, guess who's going to show up next?
Did you have popcorn?
No.
Ooh.
I was stuffed off of fried chicken from Pig and Finch, and so I did not need popcorn.
That's like, you went high class, and then you went to a movie.
Then went to a movie, but we had the reclining
seats, though.
A
comic movie.
So. Yeah. So when you got to the movie, you were like, we're at Pig and Finch. We don't need your buttered popcorn.
Dusty, were you ever into comics growing up?
No.
No?
However, I did create my own comic character. Do you want to know the name?
Yeah.
Dust Must. And then, I'm not kidding, and then this dude made this poster of me, and it was the Hulk body, but only with shorts on and pasty white. And it was amazing.
Dust Must.
And it was huge. It was like the normal, like, you know, you go to Target and you buy the poster board.
Yeah.
Homeboy colored it with normal markers. Dust Must.
Dust Smash.
Dust Must or Bust? Dust.
Must.
Dust
Must. To this day, that family still calls me Dust Must.
That's amazing. I was driving near the local comic book store on Free Comic Day, and it was Costume City. And I wanted to yell out the window, nerds! But then I quickly remembered that I was one of those when I was a kid. All in love with comic books. No, for real, we are talking about marriage, but not between the gospel and the Avengers, but specifically the topic of leave and cleave. Dusty, you want to kind of unpack what we mean by leave and cleave and kind of open us up?
Yeah, there's this scripture in Genesis chapter 2 that a lot of people are familiar with. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And then verse 25 talks about the rest of the narrative of Adam and Eve there. "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." That's all pre-fall language. The fall starts in Genesis chapter 3, obviously. And we recently did a marriage checkup with people who have been married 2 years or less in our church, something that we're trying to do more frequently. So people that come through our premarital prep process, and then we want to just check in with them. Now that they're actually married, let's talk about it. And so we spent some time talking about leaving and cleaving, and specifically around this verse, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife." There's two things that are happening here in this scripture. One, you're leaving your father and mother, and then you're turning and holding fast or cleaving to your wife. Or your husband, you could say, too. So we just thought it'd be good to talk a little bit about this, just the reality of leaving and cleaving. I don't think we spend a lot of time talking about that in the church, and I think it's good to talk about. We've had some overwhelming feedback, and I think it's helpful. Whether you're newly married, maybe going to get married someday and hopeful to get married, or maybe been married 15, 20 years. So just thought we'd bat that around a little bit, talk a little bit more about it.
Chris, how has leaving and cleaving been for you and your wife?
Yeah, it was interesting that for us, it meant moving 1,000 miles away. Well, that wasn't necessarily intentional, but the fact is that when we got married, we moved to the East Coast. And so we had to learn this in a way that honored our parents, but from a distance. And so in some ways, I think we had... There were aspects of it that were easier because we weren't there and we really were on our own. But then there were aspects of it that were difficult because we also felt this sense of we have to still honor our parents. We still want them to be a part of our lives. And so what does that look like for when living 1,000 miles away, when we go back, when they come to visit? You know, just those kind of details of living far away from your parents but still learning to leave and cleave. But here's the thing. I don't think it's necessarily just how much you see your parents and how much, you know, what it means like to divide up family time on holidays and things like that. I think it's a disposition of we're building a family. Our loyalty, our energy, our just the direction we're going in unity. And so it's, I think that's one of the things that we learned very quickly is it's not just the fact that, oh, we're 1,000 miles away from our parents. This is going to be a piece of cake. It really is the disposition of I am loyal to you and I emotionally, physically, mentally, like all of my identity as far as like who I am now, it's I see myself as belonging to you over my parents. And so that dynamic, if you're 1,000 miles away or not, is difficult.
Yeah, and I think in my story, Mike, it was pretty easy actually for me to leave and cleave, simply because what I was leaving and what I was cleaving to, or JC, who I was cleaving to, was just a completely different worldview, and it was a completely different scenario. So I wasn't necessarily leaving a lot of foundational spiritual major blessings in my life. I was about to cleave to that, but I wasn't necessarily leaving anything fantastic, if you will. I mean, my family was great, but as far as where we were at spiritually, we're entering into something different. And so, but I think it's still just good to know. You know, one of the things that I came to terms with was the primary person. Once you're married, the primary person that you should be friends with should be your spouse. That should be your primary channel of deep intimate relationship when I'm just conversationally and through decision making. And so when you get married, and now that you are married, let's just say that you are married, you need to rethink your friendships. You need to be thinking about how you relate to your family. You might need to have conversations, but really it's mostly just the things that you're practicing, how you're going through life and your rhythms. And obviously this text, you know, you cleave to your spouse, and there's a sexual reality to this. There's a piece of sexuality to this that's one flesh. And so even you can think bodily about one flesh. Now, the reality is people bring brokenness into their marriages when it comes to sexuality as well. And so there's certain things that you might still need to leave sexually behind in order to cleave appropriately to your spouse. So I think once you get into this whole idea of leaving and cleaving, the floodgates can just come open when you're talking family and friendship and sexuality and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So Mike, how about for you? What was it like for you?
Yeah, it's funny how you just framed that out, that leaving isn't just necessarily moving out of my mom and dad's basement and living with my wife, but it's there's this holistic leaving of marriage to Jenny was just a whole new world, a whole new reality. And so where I was dependent on things with my parents, Jenny was now that. And where Jenny was dependent with her family, she was now dependent on me. And so specifically, I felt that in providing and working hard and making sure I had the job to provide for her and eventually for our kids. And so, yeah, it's just the leaving and cleaving was for me just more holistic than just me not living with my mom and dad and hanging out with my wife. It was, you know, like everything changed.
It's interesting, even something as simple as where do you go for like emotional support? So yeah. At the end of the day, you had a bad day or you need advice, like where do you go? Like learning to say, oh, you know, my spouse is now that person where I need to go for emotional support to talk about decision making. And yeah, you can still lean on the wisdom of your parents, but who is sort of that primary source? Where is that energy and that loyalty going to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was actually something that I was challenged with early into marriage, and I didn't even realize it was a total blind spot to me when it came to leaving and cleaving until my wife actually brought it up. Where there was a certain family member that I was just talking to a lot, and it was just always that way for me. And then it was kind of, we joke about it now, you know, 15 years into marriage, but it was kind of this weird thing where JC was like, hey, do you think you could not talk to her that much? Like, we're married now. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Like, that's just weird. This is a total blind spot to me. And I think that's just the case. And so certain things you don't even realize that you need to leave until you have those kinds of conversations, you know? Mm-hmm. Mike, you talk about providing, and so husbands actually need to lead in this area of what does the husband need to leave, what does the wife need to leave and in order to cleave appropriately, and then how does he lead that? Mm-hmm. So there could be a conversation that needs to be had there, you know. I think especially wives come into marriage, if they've come from a decent family, they come into a marriage where there's things have been healthy, mm-hmm. Where they have a decent relationship with their dad, and so there could be this tendency, depending on personality, of like, well, that's great that you kind of want to lead our family that way, but this is how we've always done it, or this is what my dad has always done. And so there really needs to, in order to have a healthy marriage, you got to have that conversation, and you got to, maybe you meet in the middle. I'm not saying you throw out the baby with the bathwater and your dad had nothing wise to say there.
Right.
And maybe that husband could just do that. Maybe he'll just glean that wisdom and go. But now the husband's the head of that household, and to cleave appropriately, even in those things, you know, you got to have those conversations when necessary. Mm-hmm. So, one thing that I think it's important to note, and then we have some questions from some people that knew we were going to have this conversation. I think it's just as important to note, and this is why I think this podcast applies across the board to whether you're single, married, engaged, married for 5 years, married for 20 years, is because it's just as hard for the moms and dads who are sending their sons and daughters out to get married. It's just as hard for them. And the reason I know that is because I've met with some of the moms and dads of the older generation in our church who have said, actually, I'm really into this, but it's so hard. I'm really really trying to like allow my son and his wife to do their thing, and I also have some issues with it. And so they want to play mom again, or they want to play dad again. And so, but in order to let it happen, they're realizing, oh, I need to actually back up. Mm. And so how do I pray for that conversation, or you know, how do we cultivate maybe a friendship now that's changed? And so it's just good to know, you know, we have a relatively young church, and so when we're thinking leaving and cleaving, we don't need to just think about, well, now that you're going to get married, you need to leave your parents. Well, also to the parents, how do you set your kids up for success, you know, in this area? One of the things that JC and I talk about often, which I know we talk about it, but I know that we don't always do it, is one of the things that we want to do with our children is prepare them for marriage, or prepare them at least to go into the world, right? So maybe they won't be married, but we kind of see it as, well, we want to steward these kids while we have them, knowing that we're not going to have them forever. And one of the things we want to do is obviously model a great marriage in front of them, things that they hopefully desire and want in their spouse. But we have to realize that we're just stewarding that right now. We want to prepare them for marriage, because I think it's got to be hard if you have a healthy relationship with your daughter or your son, you know, just to say, hey, happily get married. There's going to be some issues there. You know, there's the cord has to be cut on that side as well.
Mm-hmm. So almost the parents that have to let go of their kids have to cleave to something more than just their children in those moments. They have to cleave to something greater, like, you know, belief that God is sovereign, and the gospel, that they're not, their identity isn't in their children, things like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and just even as you're saying that, the thing I'm reflecting on here is, you know, that we could all point to some of those stories in our own life where we have friends or people that we know that when their kids have graduated high school or graduated college, the husband and wife look at each other like, oh, now that we did that, I think we're going to get a divorce now because I'm not really connected to you. And you think, oh, that's really sad and really weird that they were married for 30 years. That doesn't make sense that they'd get a divorce now. But it does make sense if they haven't left and cleft appropriately, right? So marriage is not just an institution to raise children. It's an institution to glorify God holistically.
Well, let's look at some of those questions that came in. First one, seems like leaving has been and will continue to be this awkward event. Should or can leaving be a sit-down conversation that happens, or is leaving generally a weird and awkward disconnect that gradually happens?
I was actually talking to someone this morning in Corumdale, a very wise dude, talking about how in his own life, he thought, just even theologically looking at that passage in Genesis, that the cleaving was kind of like welding. So you had this moment where you're just like, boom, you're connected, you're together. But he was saying how he's come to believe that it's more a process, that it's going to be something that you're, it's not something you arrive at, it's something you're always working towards and building. And so to say that it is going to be an awkward process is, yes, set that expectation. Even if you have a sit-down moment with your parents and your parents are like, awesome, cool, great, yes, we release you. As we just said, it's going to be hard for them as well, and they're going to have to learn, and there's going to be moments where they might grab onto things, and they're going to think, oh, no, I have to let go. So I think my advice would be just set the expectation. It's a process, and it's always going to be a process, and be okay with that.
Yeah, I think my answer is it's more of a process than it is a sit-down. Even as I just think about my own story, there was a couple times where I felt like I needed to have legit conversations with certain family, or JC and I even had legit conversations. But I think overall, it's a process. But I think how you enter into it matters a lot. And I think you can even hit reset at any point, right? So husbands are growing in their leadership all the time. Wives are growing all the time. And so at certain times on the journey of marriage, you're going to realize, oh, we actually need to think about that, you know? So I think it's a gradual process, which is why sometimes couples would say, man, the first year of marriage was so great for us. Mm. Well, chances are you moved across the country and like your in-laws weren't in your backyard, you know? Maybe that's the case for you, or maybe you just got sent with a bunch of blessing and everybody in your family got it. Mm-hmm. I think that's rare, mm-hmm. right? But sometimes marriage is difficult, and sometimes it's difficult because of this leaving and cleaving thing. We just need to talk about it as husbands and wives.
Yeah, and I would add that setting expectations up front is really important too for parents. I know for Mindy and I, sometimes our process of trying to grow in this involves sometimes just not having very good attitudes or being somewhat reactionary to our parents. And so instead of talking to our parents and kind of sort of setting expectations of like, hey, we've wrestled through this and this is what we think for us to leave and cleave is going to look like in our relationship with you, we sort of just did it. And then they were like, what the heck's going on? And then we had to kind of fix some things. So setting expectations. Yeah. So if you are going to have those sit down, sometimes it's just, here's the expectations, this is what we're shooting for, rather than just saying, you know, this is what it's going to be. And so just helping your parents and honoring them in that way.
Yeah, and I think it's not just with parents. You know, you have siblings that are single still, and maybe you've been great friends, and now marriage changes that, you know? Yeah. They're not really ready for that because they're not experiencing it. And once you're experiencing that, you're like, oh, well, this changes, or it should change a little bit. And so, you know, you don't have to have those conversations all the time as far as let's have a sit-down black and white conversation. Look, I'm married now, and you're making it really difficult. You don't have to do that. But you can, you know, you're changing your rhythms, you're changing your life, and you want to be charitable to those relationships. It's not like they go away. They just change.
Yeah.
And they should change. Mm-hmm. I think for a healthy marriage, they should transition.
Yeah, and you're not going to have all those rhythms figured out right away. So those rhythms are just going to naturally change and shape and form over time. So just be aware that you might be constantly having these conversations for a while, especially as, like you said, Dusty, as your marriage grows and as you had kids in the mix, it just gets just hard sometimes. You have to set up boundaries and have those conversations as those things come down.
I think it always gets awkward around holidays. You know, like, yeah. Well, this is the way we always do it.
Yep.
Oh, man. Like, she just threw that down, or he threw that down. You know, it's usually somebody's mom that throws that down, or dad, right? So then it gets real, right? Mm-hmm. So then now we got to have a conversation of like, okay, this is obviously going to hurt some feelings, and there's some emotional capital here. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
And that's where it gets tense and awkward. But you know what? You have to realize that your marriage isn't built around that anymore. Mm-hmm. The Lord's called you to be the be on the front line of your own marriage. Yep. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for there, but you're establishing your own household now. You're establishing your own family. And hopefully you want to be there for the holidays and do the holiday thing that's always been traditional. It's not like you're trying to break tradition, but just have a conversation about it, at least as a husband and wife agree on it, so that your holidays aren't more tense than they need to be.
Yeah. All right, here's another question. In terms of setting boundaries, how would one start the conversation with family, particularly if they don't come from a similar place in their faith? In other words, how does one make leaving and cleaving make sense to someone who doesn't know Jesus? So this person's just coming from a whole different world than their family when it comes to Jesus and the gospel and their faith. So how would you guys encourage this person?
Yeah, I've had to experience this myself a little bit. I'm going to read into this question a little bit. There's a good chance that that person is maybe the first Christian in their family, perhaps. And so things are already awkward. I would just say embrace the next level of awkwardness there as you enter into Christian marriage. But realize that how you leave and cleave to your Christian husband or wife is also the next step in the proclamation of the gospel to your family. So I think my answer is lead out with the gospel, whether that's the content of the gospel or just how it's changed your own soul and your own life. Don't be shy about what the gospel's done in your own life. Don't be bashful about that. Don't be obnoxious, but don't apologize for it. Basically by the fruit of your life, they should know that that's the case anyway. As far as having a conversation about it, you just have to, I think if you're going to have a conversation about it, if that's actually necessary, then you're going to have to be charitable, because we have Corinthians here, right? That just says, the gospel's foolishness to those who are perishing, right? So I'm paraphrasing there, but so you don't expect non-Christians to understand Christian marriage. This is the weird part about marriage. A Christian marriage is different than just marriage in general because people are married all over the city and all over the nation. But a Christian marriage should be distinct. And so let the gospel saturate your marriage and let that marriage just do its work for you with the gospel going forward. Does that make sense? I think that's my number one answer. There's only been a couple times, again, this is my situation actually that you're asking about, and there's only, again, been a couple times where I've actually had to say, yeah, this is just how we do things based on our faith. I realize you don't get that, and that's fine, but this is how we roll, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like the way you put that, of like letting the marriage do the work and modeling a healthy marriage that honors parents in the sense that, hey, this is our lives, and we're building our lives together, and this is our primary loyalty, but even in that, our posture towards you is love. And I think there's an opportunity both to establish good, healthy boundaries, but at the same time, demonstrate the honoring your parents in the sense of we love you and we still want you to be part of our life. So I think there's opportunities both to establish that really healthy sense of like, this is us, and we want you to know that. But at the same time, I'm guessing that in the parents, there's probably some fear of the unknown there. And so how you engage that, you're getting to alleviate fear and maybe even serving them in some ways. And so I think my first initial encouragement would always be use an opportunity to honor your parents, speak to them with love, establish those boundaries. And then, like you said, let your marriage show those parents, like, look, what we're building here is something very good and healthy, and hopefully your parents will see that and be like, okay, cool. I don't necessarily get what you're doing, but I can see it's a very good thing.
How does one get to the gospel with leaving and cleaving? Leaving the cleaving seems like a really wise, practical thing to do. Scripture tells us to do it, but how does it connect with the gospel?
My answer to your question, Mike, is that with the gospel as the primary foundation for all of marriage, a healthy marriage is one that's left and is cleaving to one another to become the powerful force that displays the gospel that much more. Does that make sense? So if I don't leave appropriately and cleave appropriately, then all I have is another roommate. Then all I have is somebody to help make my babies or to have my babies. Does that make sense? So if you don't leave appropriately and cleave appropriately, you don't have a gospel foundation for marriage. You actually just have another roommate, and you just have a truncated marriage. You just have a marriage that's not whole. There's some good elements to it, perhaps. Maybe certain things are good, but certain things are off. And so I think, you have a healthy gospel foundation for your marriage as you leave and cleave. And therefore, that becomes a powerful force to display the gospel to the watching world so that people are actually intrigued by, your neighbors end up intrigued by your marriage.
Yeah.
They're confused by how happy you are. They're confused by the kinds of children you have. They're perplexed and confused, not because they're not attracted to it, but they actually are attracted to it. They just don't get it,
mm-hmm.
of why things seem to be so whole over there. And really what they are is they're attracted to the gospel in that because there's been appropriate leaving and cleaving along the way. So that's one angle or one answer. Yeah.
This is a really interesting question, and I think you could think of a number of ways to think through it and answer it. One thought that came to me is thinking through this, going to Ephesians 5 and talking about the relationship of Christ and his church, and you see a very distinct emphasis on Christ's commitment to his church and flipping that over, the church's commitment to Christ. And so that leaving and cleaving is a picture of the just how significant a commitment that is. And so a man, I mean, I'm going to put this kind of starkly, but I don't mean it as starkly as it's going to sound, but a man leaves his family. He breaks ties of loyalty with his family and commits himself to his wife. She is his primary concern, and he's loyal to her, and the same thing with a wife. And so I think in the picture of the commitment side that cannot happen in a healthy way without proper leaving and cleaving, you'll miss the picture of just how committed Christ is to his church and then how committed we as his church are to him. Mm. And so if you see that done in a very healthy way in a marriage, man, you have a beautiful picture of like Jesus is ours and we are his. Mm. So I think that's one way that I would potentially attempt to go there.
Dusty, thanks for bringing this topic to the table today. If you, the listener, have more questions, please interact with us. If you're friends with us on Facebook or following us on Twitter, at Quorum Deo Omaha, please send us your questions and comments. We'd love to interact with you. So we'll talk to you next Wednesday on the Wednesday Conversation.
Dust must.
Nerds!